We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. It is a nippy 45 degrees outside. County Mayor Joe Carr has joined us. Did you walk here?
Bart, I owe you an apology.
No. Yeah, I know something came up. No, I'm asking you, did you walk from the courthouse?
No. Okay. I had something else that I drove straight here. So, okay. First time ever. I was thinking
45 degrees outside. That's a nippy walk.
Oh, that's perfect weather to walk in. Okay. Oh, it's perfect. Yeah, absolutely. It's nice outside. It's great. I love fall. Love fall.
Now, I want to ask you a question. There's a rumor circulating about you, and I thought we'd start off. This is something the public needs to know, and we just jump right into it. Rumors are, and I don't know how to put this, Joe.
Directly. Put it like an anvil dropped down a fifth-floor elevator shaft, Bart. Here, catch this.
Rumors are that you are now becoming a snake handler?
Yes, I am an accomplished snake handler. I'm fascinated by the little devils. We found one the other day in the museum part of the courthouse, the guard. This is great. So you can see a picture of it on my Facebook page, my personal page. So the guard comes running into my office. I'm doing something. I can't tell you what it is. I don't remember. But anyway, I'm in my office, and he bolts into the office, not my office, but out where Rachel and Carla sit. And she goes, "We got a snake in the museum." And I jump up, "Really?" And I go darting out, and there he is. It's not a big snake. He's a little snake. He's like 2.5, maybe 3 feet long. And he's just sitting up there trying to get warm on top of one of the cases that display some of the artifacts. And I just reached over and pick him up, and I I love it. I don't know what the issue is, but if I see a snake in the road or something like that, I'll pick it up and if I got a box or a bag, I'll put it in the, I'll take it home, put it on the farm. They take care of mice and rats, and it's a great way to deal with the problem I've got having a farm. So, and they don't bother me, and I know how to catch them. And I've had several pictures prior to this week where I did that. So yeah, I guess I'm a snake.
Is that
hammer.
All kinds of snakes? I mean, rattlesnakes, all that kind.
Oh, I won't fool with a poisonous snake, but I will tell you, I've only run across a rattlesnake once in my life, and that was up on the in the Smoky Mountains. Joe Jr. and I were horseback riding, and we ran across a snake, and he was probably about 6 feet long and probably about as big as around as my forearm. So he was a big guy, and no, we didn't mess with him.
Let's change subject. That's a great subject, though. I'm glad to. So there was truth in the fact that you are a snake handler.
I don't know that I'm a snake handler in the religious context.
Now, did I say that?
No, you did not. But I'm sure that's the image that some of your listeners might have. It's the image certainly that I have. But they don't bother me. I'm not afraid of them, and I think they serve a very useful purpose if you have a farm.
While we're talking about images, if you would paint us an image, because I know you were there recently, the construction site of the Forensic Medical Center.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. Go ahead.
No, that's it. Paint us an image.
So,
what was there?
So your listeners may not know this, because I don't tell a lot of people that, but I have an extensive background in project engineering management, multi-million dollar projects. I had two engineering companies in the 90s and the early 2000s. So I'm accustomed to managing very complex engineering projects, construction projects, that kind of thing. And I'm fascinated by the process of solving the problems that come up as a result of a project like that. And so we have what's called OAC meetings every month, where I'm the project manager, and I meet with the architect, the engineers, the construction company, my staff, and we meet out at the site, and we review the progress of the construction project to make sure it's on budget, on time, and to deliver value to the Rutherford County citizens. So I was out there yesterday in Weekly Lane, the Forensic Center. Again, these are also pictures on my personal Facebook page if you want to take a look. And they're doing a phenomenal job. My team's doing a great job. We're actually already a little ahead of schedule. And we may be even a little under budget. It's a little early to tell, but we're doing very, very well. And I got a phenomenal team. I don't want the listeners to think that this is Joe Carr, you know, having all the answers. Not at all. What this is Joe Carr getting subject matter experts in construction management and bringing them together to make sure that we bring value to our property taxpayers. So it's going really, really well, and we hope the weather holds up so we can continue to be ahead of schedule.
We've had some detectives on the radio talking about cold cases, and they have all applauded the fact that we're going to have this forensic center.
It is critical to solving and expediting the solving of questionable homicides and deaths and open cases. It absolutely is. And this is one of these things that the county commission has talked about for 15 or 20 years and has never done. And, you know, I came into office 3 years ago, Bart, with an agenda that we're going to get things done and we're going to move forward. The fourth largest county in the state can no longer just sit back and wait for somebody else to do it. We've got to address the needs of this county, in particular infrastructure and the forensic center, the transfer station, and all the schools. Those are infrastructure needs that we are addressing, and I'm pretty proud of what we've done in 3 years.
By the way, if you have a question for our county mayor, just text it to us, 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. Questions dealing with last week's talk before the county commission by State Comptroller Jason Mumpower. They're questioning about the property taxes. He said that some people will get a refund, because they paid too much. Some folks didn't pay enough, and they may get a bill for that. They're concerned about that. Tell us your take on that. It looks like, and this person said, it looks like they would just chart it up to a mistake and start over next year.
Well, that's. I don't think that's. We can do that. So first of all, let me say that the report that Comptroller Mumpower brought to the county commission, the allegations are very, very serious. I don't believe Comptroller Mumpower, as one of the three constitutional officers, there are three, there's the treasurer, there's the comptroller, and there's the secretary of state. I don't believe he would have done that, nor his staff of 22 that were involved in this review and audit for the last year and a half, would have brought this presentation had the allegations not been very, very serious. And so I want to be careful here, because there's still an ongoing investigation. I have to be very careful. So if I don't say some things, it's because I don't want to influence the investigation, Bart, okay? But I've known that the reports of problems within the assessor's office and their processes, protocols, and how they go about making assessments, I've been aware of for over two years. And so this is the culmination of that investigation by the comptroller's report. And so he came and asked to come to the county commission and present his findings. The county commission, the 21 members of the county commission, have to decide how they want to proceed. And so I think they're in the process of determining what their options are. Comptroller Mumpower has given them a couple of recommendations. I'm not sure how we're going to move forward in those recommendations, but the county commission now has the responsibility and the obligation to get up to speed as quickly as they can about the depth, the breadth, and the length for which Mr. Mumpower's allegations reflect in an inaccurate tax roll in the county such that changes would be required, whatever those changes might be.
Now, in his recommendations that he made there before the county commission, he said that a full independent audit of all 130,000-plus parcels in Rutherford County was recommended, and he said it would be costly.
Yes.
And the county would be the one that would have to pay for it.
That is my understanding as well.
Which means taxpayers pay for it, really. I mean, we're not selling products.
That is correct.
So is there enough tax money? Will this just put us into a spiral down?
I can promise you, Bart Walker, as the mayor of this county, you can take this to the bank. What I know right now, and I know a lot, and there's a lot I know I will not say. I know there are some who would like to see this politicized as a means to distract from the obligations of the office and the responsibility and obligations of the county commission. I am not going to participate in politicizing this at any level. Having said that, there will be no spiral. Yes, this is going to be expensive to remediate, to get to find out to what extent the sample. Let me back up. So the comptroller's office went in and they pulled a sample of, I think, 8,643 parcels. I don't have the number right in front of me, but it was like 8,600 or something like that. So that was a sample size of 6.5% of the total 130,000 parcels. Based on that sample size, they found a 25% error rate after the assessor's office had two opportunities, in some cases more than that, to correct the errors. And though so even though the errors were ostensibly corrected, there were still errors within the errors. And so what we need to find out is, within the rest of the parcels that were not reviewed or audited, approximately 122,000, how many of those have errors? And that is what we need to find out. What's the nature of the errors? What constitutes an error? How extensive is the error? What is the financial impact of the error to the property taxpayer and to the county? But we don't know until we find out. That will be expensive. There are some people, I know because I've seen it myself, that have had inflated square footage values for years. And I also know there are some who haven't paid enough. On balance, how does that figure out? Does it mean more revenue to the county, or does it mean we got to write checks out of the county? We just don't know yet, because there are so many errors and so many different types of errors, we can't quantify it yet until we really start digging in outside the 8,600 in the sample size.
Now, Comptroller Mumpower also mentioned, in addition to what you just said about the incorrect square footage of homes, some had too much square footage, some had too little.
Yes, that is correct.
But some businesses, new buildings, were just totally left off the tax rolls.
Oh, exactly. Yeah,
I mean, that's what he said.
Yeah,
and
I know example, there is a policy, or I understand, I don't know this to be fact, I understand there to be a policy that the assessor's office does not assess greenhouses. I don't agree with that policy, but my understanding, that's the policy. But I do know they do assess some greenhouses, but they don't assess other greenhouses. I know that for a fact.
And so a greenhouse out in the back of the yard.
I'm not going to talk about my greenhouse, Bart. I'm not going to do that.
What I'm trying
to illustrate is that what people want in government, not just the assessor's office, they want this out of me. And this is very serious. you know, we may not like the rules, Bart. We may not like the law. We may not like the regulation. But what we absolutely demand and expect is that that rule, regulation, or law is equally applied to everybody. And so what we have is, in many respects, an inconsistency within that office about how the rules, the regulations, and the laws are applied. That's very important. You know, we may not like a 70-mile-an-hour speed limit down the interstate. We think it maybe you think it should be 80, or I think it should be 60. But if it's 70, the law should apply to you, Bart, just as much as it applies to me. And I think people are worried that the laws, for whatever reason, and I'm not going to speculate the reason, but for whatever reason, the laws are not being, or the rules and the regulations and the protocols and the processes are not being equally applied. And every government office ought to adhere to that strict standard of equal application in the law.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with County Mayor Joe Carr.
This situation with the taxes, could this be considered criminal or just stupidity on the person that was doing it? Or is the county be held responsible for it? Don't they oversee some of that?
Okay, thank you for calling, by the way.
So, just like the trustee, just like the clerk, the county court clerk, the register of deeds, the road superintendent, the mayor, the property assessor is a constitutionally elected office, and as such, he reports directly to the voters. There are some provisions that are available legally to deal with malfeasance. There's ways to deal with dereliction of duty, negligence, gross negligence, especially if it's knowingly negligence. I'm not speculating on that, and I cannot comment any further on the caller's question because there's still an ongoing investigation, and it's not appropriate for me to do that, and I'm going to be very careful because this, Bart, I want to say again, this is not political. Any purpose for somebody to politicize this or personalize this is inappropriate and is not necessary. We have to find out what the problem is, why does the problem exist, and what are we going to do to fix the problem. And the problem is we've got an error rate inside the assessor's office of 25% based on a sample size of over 6,800 parcels that doesn't bode well for the rest of the county as it relates to how their property is being assessed.
Before we move to another subject, Comptroller Mumpower was there at the property assessor's office. His staff was there, has been for a good while.
Several months, yes, sir.
And they have been basically running everything, have they? Or have they not?
In some respects, they have. In some respects, and this is what Leader Mumpower talked about directly in his presentation. He talked about how the leadership in the assessor's office not only did not cooperate, they obstruct that investigation and made it matters much more difficult. And I think the question is if they're there to help, why didn't the leadership in the assessor's office accept their help? Why did they, according to Speaker Mumpower, why did they obstruct their efforts to identify the problems and fix those problems?
So if Comptroller Mumpower's staff is now away from there, they've pulled out, it sounded like, and they've given it up to the county to decide what direction are you going to go next?
Mm-hmm.
Are we back to just the way it was? And if
we're not back to the way it was, because we now know, and none of us, you, me, the listeners, especially the county commission, none of us have the excuse of saying, I didn't know. All of us are required to do something. And I will say this to your listeners out there. If you want to know what to do, let me tell you where you can start. This is very important. I want to give your listeners something to do. If you're concerned about whether your property was assessed correctly, I want you to call your county commissioner and ask them. That's what they're there for. Call the mayor's office. We will try to assist you and direct your call to the appropriate place. Call the county commissioner, call your county mayor, Joe Carr, his office, and we will be glad to direct you based on the nature of your question so you can get the information you need going forward.
So if you are concerned, if your assessment says you have 4,000 square feet of livable space, is that what they qualify, livable space?
Yeah, so they call it, I call it heated and cooled, dried in, that kind of thing.
So greenhouses, outhouse, I mean, not an outhouse.
That's different. That counts, that's assessed differently.
Garage?
Yeah, I think that's assessed differently. Now, I'm not an expert in what they assess and how they assess things differently. You see what I'm saying? But I know two people personally who have had the square footage on their home over assessed for years, and that's a problem. And according to what I understand, the assessor's office knew about it and did not correct it. That's a problem.
So it wouldn't be making them money. It would be making the county money, I guess.
I don't.
It's hard to figure out what in the world.
I do not understand. Because here's the thing. If we had one error, consistently the same error, that was everybody's square footage is 10% more than it should be, 20% more than it should be. Okay, we got a problem here, but they're overestimating the size of the square footage. Why is that? But the errors are all over the place. We got some houses that are over, their square footage is too much. We got some houses where the certificate of occupancy are townhomes. The certificate of occupancy, it's residences, and it's not on the tax roll. We got townhomes should have been on the tax roll 18 months, 2 years ago. They aren't on the tax roll. We got property. We got some greenhouses that are being assessed. We got other greenhouses that are not being assessed. It's all over the place. It just almost looks, I don't know what it looks like. I don't understand it. There's no rhyme or reason to the errors and the types of errors and how they're occurring. But we just know that the frequency of errors in the sample of over 6,800 was 1 in 4 or 25%. That is intolerable. That is totally intolerable. That means one out of every four property taxpayers has some sort of error in their assessment. Now, the question is that error significant? That we don't know either. Some errors may be significant, some may not be. But that's what we don't know. And what is significant? You know, if there's a $100 error on your property tax and there's a $100 error on my property tax, you know, I may not think that's significant. You may think that's very significant. The problem is when you have errors, then it goes to reliability and validity. In other words, how valid is the assessment, and is the assessment reliable? And that's what we're trying to address.
Our phone number, 615-893-1450. You can talk or text. We will be right back with more of your questions to County Mayor Joe Carr.
WGNS talks about all things. Turn your fingers into a microphone and talk back. WGNSradio.com is Rutherford County's online source for what matters to you. WGNSradio.com.
WGNS is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. Through Sharing Change, MTE members round up their bills to support local nonprofits. Find out more how your spare change can make a difference at sharingchange.org.
That brisket came from your cow, right?
Yep, raised her, named her, thanked her, and now she's dinner.
Rutherford County Farmers Market. There's something fresh every week. Tuesdays and Fridays, 7 to 1, at Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro on John R. Rice Boulevard.
This is Danny Page. You know, I had a fire at my house a couple of years ago. It was mostly smoke damage, but if you've ever had to deal with smoke damage, it's not fun. My entire house had to be fumigated, and you sometimes don't realize what it'll do to mattresses. I had 4 bedrooms, and I had to replace all 4 mattresses. I looked around at a few of the high-end stores, and then I found Discount Mattress. This store is located at 1614 Northwest Broad beside La Siesta. I went in, I met the sales staff, and I found out they've been serving Middle Tennessee since 2001. I found out real quick that they carry some great, well-known mattresses like Simmons, Englander, M. Lily, and my favorite, the Bed Boss. Remember this, they all come in plastic. I ask you to do this. Do not buy until you come to Discount Mattress. They also have free delivery and old mattress removal. Come in, meet their friendly sales staff, give them a call, 615-907-6655. You will be so glad you did.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. When Kristen said, okay, you know, when we're going to do the remodel, because we're celebrating 35 years, we also wanted to make it more open and inviting, so we made the lobby a lot more open. Booth seats a little bit different colors to kind of still keep it a little up to date, make it fresh. We wanted to make it cozier, make it a little bit brighter for people to see, to pay homage to where we have been the entire time. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
This message brought to you by the Central Tennessee Regional Solid Waste Planning Board. Visit RecycleRightTN.com for tips, ideas, and locations on where to recycle near you. That's RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle right, it's all on you. Don't be trashy, recycle classy, recycle right, Tennessee.
Go to RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle right, Tennessee.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Our prices will normally meet internet prices. When I buy a guitar, I have to put my hands on the guitar neck. You can do that here. You can try your instrument before you ever put any money on it at all. And still, cheaper than what you could get online most of the time, at least match their prices at worst. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
Hi, my name is Diane Davenport. There are many reasons why I love Adams Place. One reason that we wanted to move here was to make it easier for our children. My husband and I know we are getting older and things do happen. And you need to make these choices and come before an emergency occurs. And then come and have the good life when you get here.
This is Terry Deal. Come tour Adams Place and discover living a dream in your senior years on Memorial across from Walmart. Call us at 615-904-9111.
This is Chip Walters, and you're listening to Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station.
Yeah, we got them.
MTSU Sports on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Welcome back. We have about 10 minutes left in our program this morning with County Mayor Joe Carr. A lot on the table this morning.
I need to talk about something before before we get back to that. So, I am told by my HR director, under strict orders of Sonia Stevenson, that I'm to announce the Rutherford County Fall One Pot Meal Cook-Off. And it is on, where's the date, Sonia? Hold on. Oh, Friday, November 7th from 2025, up around the historic courthouse from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's lunch. So everybody come up to the courthouse on Friday, November 7th from 11 to 1 o'clock, and you are going to get a one pot meal cook-off. $5 entry fee. Please come, socialize, enjoy the courthouse. It's going to be a beautiful fall day, Bart. And that's my shameless plug for the county's efforts. Thank you, Sonia.
That's not this Friday, but the week afterwards.
Whatever November 7th is, Bart.
I think that's right.
I barely got here on time, remember?
and what time is that?
Can I give you that?
Yeah, we'll put it on the...
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
Friday, November the 7th. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. From 11 to 1 at the historic courthouse on the square.
And it's going to support the Soldier's Child Foundation.
Yes, sir.
A very worthy cause.
Yes, very worthy. Very so difficult. I don't have anything written on that, do I? No, I do not. I'm going to leave that with you if you don't mind.
Okay,
thank you very, very much.
Let's continue with our conversation here. For persons in Rutherford County who are retired, and we're looking at values of homes. Home prices have continued to go up dramatically.
Yep.
I don't know if there's anything that can be done. Probably not. But this person who sent this in was concerned that the property values have gone up. People are unable to buy homes now. First homes, starter homes, are starting around $420,000 to $440,000.
That is correct.
So is there anything that can be done? Because they're saying that they're concerned that the cost of living here will soon be comparable to what it is in other areas around the nation.
So this is, well, that's true. And indeed, what we have is, this is the classic example of, you know, the downside of a great place to live, work, and raise and educate your family and children. And people want to come here. The secret is out, Bart. You and I have been talking about the growth of this county for a long time. And we're the fourth largest county in the state. We're the fastest growing county in the state. And we're now a victim of our own success. And so the flip side to unaffordable housing because of market values increasing, I will tell you, we're getting ready to come into an appraisal year in 2026 and out of the assessor's office. And if it's anything like what's going on in Williamson County, we're looking at values increasing 35%, 40% in some cases. Potentially, certainly, very really, in a real way. And if that's cases, you know, there's going to be some sticker shock on the new assessed value of your home. The flip side to that is that for a lot of, especially younger couples who buy a home and they sit on that home for 4, 5, 6 years, that's an investment for them to upgrade to another home. So they like the idea of the market increasing the value of their asset. You know, when they bought the home, that home they bought it for $400,000. 4 years later, the home is worth $500,000. That's $100,000 of equity they've built into that home. That's important for a young family. The flip side of that is for somebody like you or I, Bart, we're not going to sell our home. I'm not. You may. I'm not going to sell my home. So any increase in value in my home isn't an additional asset to me. As a matter of fact, it's a liability because of the increase in property taxes. But that's just the environment we're in. I will say this, on affordable housing, I had a meeting in my office yesterday morning, and we're constantly looking at ways of, indeed, I'm looking at a project now to provide some affordable housing here in Rutherford County, Murfreesboro. And we're excited about opportunities to do that, but we're fighting the winds of growth and the fact that Rutherford County is a great place to live and people from all over the country want to move and live here. That creates demand, and we don't have enough supply, unfortunately. So we're working on it. It's the toughest thing that I have to work on.
Let's move to another question. This one is dealing with how is it going with the county building on East Main, the old Bank of America building?
Yep. So we are getting in the assessments of the inspection from those inspections. They're going very, very well. We are involved in now what's called programming for the needs of the people, the offices that are in Goldstein that are the first priority move. That is Election Commissioner Director Alan Farley. That is Tanya Bell in Codes Department. That is Doug DeMossi in Planning. That is Mike Hughes in Engineering. And so those four primarily are the priority because of the condition of Goldstein. And so we have now completed or well into the programming phase, which will then determine the suitability for that building for those particular offices. There's no question it's quite suitable. I believe the contract that I signed, I believe we have to either close on the middle of December or we have to ask for a 30-day extension. But I think things are going well. But I'm not ready to issue a final determination as to the condition of the building. But it seems to be going well.
Now, you're saying close in the middle of December on the contract. Is the contract to buy or lease?
Buy. We will buy the Bank of America building. We put an offer of $9.2 million on the building, and that offer was accepted. Condition on inspection. So that's what we're doing now. The offer is conditioned on inspection. So we're completing that inspection process now.
Would that building have enough parking for you? If not, would you build a multi-level parking garage behind it?
No, we do not need that. That building, as a matter of fact, solves a lot of parking problems on the square because it alleviates the need for those people in Goldstein to park on the square, and there are about 60 parking places that are available that we will be used for employees, and then we can use the parking in front of on building on East Main and down. What is the street that goes down?
Spring Street.
Spring Street. Thank mm-hmm. you. Yeah, Spring Street. So that's available for people who want to access the building. So it really it improves congestion considerably that we currently have on the square.
And I know you're with the county, but it's not the county's problem. But in a way, I guess you're making part of it you're creating part of the problem, and that's the lack of parking on the square. Will enough people shift over to the Bank of America to leave some spaces?
So clear? I want to gently correct you on one thing.
Okay.
The county and the city of Murfreesboro, the city of Smyrna, the city of Laverne, the city of Eagle, we have an outstanding relationship. So much so that if Murfreesboro's got a problem, the county's got a problem. If Smyrna's got a problem, the county's got a problem. Laverne, Eagle, we all live in this county, this community together. So what impacts Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, and Eagle absolutely impacts Rutherford County. So we believe the moving of those offices out of Goldstein into the BOA building will have a substantial positive impact on parking and congestion around the square. So we're excited about that being a positive for this move.
And of course, that it's good to see people needing to park on the square. I mean, it used to be you could go in there at 6 o'clock at night or 5, and there'd be nobody downtown.
Well, yeah, and now the problem is gone. Yeah, there used to be nobody on the square. Now we can't. Now everybody wants to be on the square.
Which is good.
It is, but people want access to the courthouse 24/7, which creates, and you and I have talked about this, really, real significant problems for a historical landmark. So, but we're going to address those, and I think we're because we want people on the square. I want people on the square. It's a wonderful place to be, and so I want to give an applause to Sarah Callender with Main Street Murfreesboro. She does a great job putting on these massive events. The Christmas tree lighting and all the other things, the farmers market, the Friday night lights, and she's done a really good job of working with the county to make sure that we reach a happy medium on balancing all that. So she's done great for working with us.
And on that note, we want to say thank you for joining us today. And so it looks like the county is going to purchase the old Bank of America building, if all goes well, mid-December.
That is our hope.
On it. $9.2 million that has been accepted.
Yes, sir. That's
all
our
right.
hope.
County Mayor Joe Carr, our guest this morning. Thank you for joining us. Keep us informed on any other snake stories on the square.
I will. Thank you, Bart.
Have a great day.